If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking all things about parenting, family things, and I guess everything in between. And today specifically, we're talking about something I feel that maybe doesn't get enough attention in the end of the day. I think it's something that's often not talked enough or talked about enough. And it is a topic that's actually celebrated during this month. We're talking about men's health. Okay. I think so often also dads, they are the quiet anchors of the family. They're strong and they're steady and they're taking care of everyone and taking care of business, and they have to be this. I don't think they often, I mean, when we talk about self-care, I think that's us female thing. I am not sure that that's something that fathers really necessarily, or men in general, don't really think about taking care of themselves in the end of the day. But that's what we're talking about today. And one of my favorite guests, Dr. Moatu, is here to talk with us about this topic. I think last time we spoke about, when we spoke about women's health and things like that, I gave him a little bit of a hard time because he's not a woman. So I thought he needs to come back and redeem himself. Thank you so much for joining me today, Doctor. It's always great to have you.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. So, when we talk about, and I mean, specifically, obviously, this is related now more men's health towards fatherhood. I mean, this is a parenting show. We're not just talking about all men. You guys, we talk about enough. I'm kidding. Obviously, of course, as always, I am quite keen to talk about this, but I want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have specific questions about men's health, and for our doctor, he's an endoscopic surgeon, please do send us your WhatsApps on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. And send us if you have any kind of questions specifically related to like fertility, how you can take care of yourself as a man. Do you feel, I mean, from a personal perspective now, I have to remind my husband to go for his checkups. I'm like, hey, you know, maybe go check those things out a little bit and things like that. I was the one who does it. We're not always great with it, but I mean, I go for my once a year checkups to get my lady stuff sorted out and things like that, which I also don't think is necessary and norm for all women. You should be doing that. But for my husband, I have to every now and then. And even talking about this today, I was like, you know what? You haven't been to the doctor in a while. Maybe you should. So please, if you have any questions, let us know. But doctor, one of my first questions I want to talk about is maybe rather what, let's start with what is some of the most common kind of issues, especially when it comes to male fertility that you see in your practice?
First of all, you know, there's this concept in African culture that if a couple is failing to fall pregnant, it's usually the woman's fault. And
I don't think that's just an African thing.
but God being the funny being that he is, actually in his sense of humor, it's split down the middle. So if a couple is failing to fall pregnant, 50% of the time there's an issue with the man. There's an issue.
It's actually funny because you now say men think it's not. Even in my head, when you just said that, I was like, really?
Right?
I even am surprised. So it's apparently not just an African man thing. It is an African woman thing.
Yeah, clearly. It's all of us. So society teaches us that it's the woman's fault. But
yes,
actually, half the time there's a problem with the man. And interestingly, and I'm going to shock you a little bit more.
Yes.
We as a species over time have our fertility rates have been declining. And out of interest, for men, there was a study that was done in 1987, what we considered normal for men was 67% of your sperms being normal. That has come down to 4%. From 1987, what is it, 2025? So now it means if 4% of your sperm is normal now, today, you're considered normal because those are, I mean, population stats. So it means that over time, our semen parameters have been decreasing and have been getting worse, which means our fertility potential has actually been decreasing as men. And that obviously has to do with lifestyle and the clothes we wear, the food we eat, everything in our lives. We are more obese than we've ever been in all of human history. So those are some of the issues that we see. The worst issue that we see when it comes to infertility is men with no sperms.
It's maybe
more common than it's ever been. So it's difficult. And remember that also, if you're having issues with fertility as a man, there are a few studies that have showed that it actually ties in with other health issues, like heart problems. So if you're having fertility issues, your chances of having heart problems are also higher, but that's because of lifestyle. So the difficult one.
So, I mean, like you just mentioned, I mean, obviously obesity and stuff like that is going to put pressure on your heart, but then also indirectly onto your sperm, I guess. So
not indirectly, directly.
Directly, okay. So directly. Thank you for correcting me. But I mean, it is also, I mean, you've now already kind of mentioned some lifestyle things that can impact, obviously, men's quality. But I mean, one of the funny things that you mentioned was clothing. Is it cycling pants? Because I would really like them to ban those.
So yeah, 100%. So like tight underwear. Remember that your testes are outside for a reason. They need a certain temperature to produce sperm. So if you wear too tight clothes, then yeah, the temperature is messed up and eventually it'll affect how your sperm is made. So it's remember women and men are different in the sense that we men are not born with sperms. So we produce sperm. Okay. And the factory for the production of sperms is the testes. So if the factory is not doing well, then we won't produce enough sperms, or the quality will be down, or eventually we'll stop producing sperms. So we must take care of our testes.
Okay, but I mean, that's also, I mean, you said like, I mean, that's for me, I mean, the fashion is so dictating that men are wearing tighter pants and things like that. We enjoy it as women to see the skinny jeans and things like that. We don't hate it. Luckily, the fashion is now going into looser, more tough clothing. So luckily, that's good news. But I mean, I didn't realize that that's such a silly thing can have such a huge impact.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, just thinking of our lifestyle. So let's, thinking of other things, just think of, most people on a daily basis put their cell phones in their pockets, which has radiation, which is close to your testes. You're going to work, you put your laptop on top of your lap.
Yeah. Right?
Heat, radiation again, that's going to...
Sitting on a leather seat in the office for hours on end.
You cannot avoid it. I mean, we all must accept that our lifestyle today is not conducive to making babies.
Yeah. Which is maybe not the worst thing.
Maybe.
But I mean, in the same breath, now I'm just kidding. In the end of the day, I think if you're really trying to get pregnant, and these are, and I mean, I feel the nice part about knowing these things, obviously, this is why we talk about this, is that I don't feel it's also complicated things to change if you're aware of it, not to put your phone in your pocket, not to put your laptop. That's an easy kind of change to make. Don't wear tight pants. Wear looser pants. I feel that that's not a difficult, especially if you are struggling.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is me, Yolandi Becker, your host for Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting, and today specifically men's health, and specifically also fertility when it comes to men's health and what can affect it and all those type of things. As always, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any questions for Dr. Maot, my guest today, he's an endoscopic surgeon, please do send me a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. If you haven't got our High FM app yet, download it. You can access all the shows, everything from there, our podcasts, as well as you can WhatsApp us through. You can just click and then you go through, and it's very easy and helpful for you to do. So, Doctor, before we went to the break, we were specifically talking about lifestyle issues and things that can affect men's fertility and their sperm count and things like that. And like I mentioned, I do feel that some of those are really kind of manageable if you know that this can happen, and if you are struggling, obviously, no, relatively easy. One of the things, especially with women, of course, we know that the older we get, the less our chance. I'm going to try to remember exactly what you've told me before. The quality of our eggs decrease and the quantity of our eggs decrease. So our chances of falling pregnant become less as we get older. Is this something? Does age affect men's fertility? Because I feel that's a lot more common that you get 65-year-old with 20-year-olds having babies.
So I'm going to introduce a concept that everyone should know. I think everyone knows about advanced maternal age. That, you know, after the age of 35, women, etc. That's what we spoke about last time. Yeah. So there's a concept now called advanced paternal age. So because we produce sperms, it means that for as long as we remain healthy, we can continue to produce sperms in way into old age. So that's why you get a 65-year-old man having a baby with a 20-year-old woman, because she still has good quality eggs. But we know now that with increasing age, then you have even a higher degree of sperm abnormality. So we call it DNA fragmentation. It means the DNA in the sperm is no longer as great as it used to be. Now, what that does is that it increases chances of certain conditions in the baby.
Oh.
So the older you are, the greater the chances of you having issues with or abnormal babies, in inverted commas. Okay. So there's that. But the truth is, if you remain healthy, most men can make babies well into their old age.
Okay. No, that's lucky for them, I guess. Another thing now, obviously, if couples are struggling to fall pregnant, obviously there's often like, there's certain tests that happen with women, but there's also certain tests that happen with men. And I assume this is what is referred to as a semen analysis. What is that? And when should you start thinking about that? Because I don't think that's something a man wants to go do into a cup from the get-go.
Yeah, semen analyses, basically what we do is we get your semen. I always get funny looks from men when I say, no, we're going to get your semen. They usually ask how. Usually it's through masturbation. That's the easiest way. You masturbate, you give me your semen in a cup. Remember, semen comprises of fluid, cells, and sperms. So sperms are also cells, but other cells. And then we basically check certain things. The most common things to think about is usually your sperm count or concentration. the way your sperm moves, which is motility, and then the percentage of normal sperms. That's what we were talking about earlier, that normal has come down to 4%. So those are the big three, but there are other things that we look at. But yeah, to simplify things, those are the three big things. Generally speaking, most men who don't have issues with fertility shouldn't actually consider having a semen analysis. But if you've been trying for more than a year and have been struggling with regular unprotected intercourse, then you should consider having a semen analysis. But more importantly, you should probably be seeing someone like me, which is an infertility doctor. Remember that, I mean, now we're talking about men, and last time we were talking about women, but the way to think of infertility is that it's a couple problem. It's not a male problem. It's not a female problem. It's your problem together.
Which is, in marriage, all problems should be seen in that way.
True. That is true. It is a couple problem. But the thing is, the thing is nowadays, actually want to hear what you think about this, because more and more couples want to have kids out of wedlock because of societal thing. Most people wait until much older to have a baby. So if I was a woman and I was 40 years old and I wasn't married and I wanted a baby, I would make a plan. But that's just me without the marriage.
And it is obviously possible to do that these days, and you can, of course.
So it's the same for men nowadays. More and more men are seeking like surrogates and gestational carriers.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, I've heard people say the streets are rough for relationships. So there are like new novel ways to deal with the same problem, I guess.
I always take things like that with a pinch of salt when people say more and more. I mean, what is more? One more person that we know of? I don't know of anyone, any man or any woman for that matter, that on a single basis did something like that. So personally now, I'm not saying that I haven't heard of this before. Of course I have, but personally I don't know anyone. So it is an interesting conversation. Maybe we should have another conversation about this sometime. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting, specifically today, focusing, as before I've had a show about specifically focusing on female fertility issues, and today we're more focusing on men's fertility issues. As Dr. Mawoto has very clearly said to us, this is not a, I think it's also an important thing to mention in the end of the day, it's not a man problem or a woman problem. In the end, it is a couple problem because you both want something. And I think that there's a lot of guilt already that comes, guilt, shame, and all these things. If the issue now in inverted commas lies with one person, that is unnecessary, because it's in the end of the day, it's something that both of you work towards in the end of the day, and both of you want in the end of the day. But as always, I do want you to be part of the conversation, so please do send us messages on 0618951019, and don't be sad if you've missed the show so far. Remember that this show and all of my shows, including the one that we've spoken about, female infertility, is available as a podcast on Hive FM for you to go listen to at any time. So please do go have a listen to those if you want to. So specifically now we've been focusing also on the sperm analysis and what that entails. Is there kind of like, because you said now we have to wait a year, is there any other kind of warning signs that men can look out for that they might need to go for a checkup for something like this?
Yeah. So let's talk, maybe I should talk a little bit about male health when it comes to fertility.
Yes.
Um, remember, we work in conjunction with the urologist. But so from our side, the reason I said a year is because a year is, when we look at the definition of infertility, if the female partner is less than 35 years, then a year is about how long you should be trying, and having failed, then we say, okay, then you have infertility. That's just the definition issue.
Okay.
But there are lots of other issues. So more and more, we are seeing a lot of male reproductive dysfunction, erectile dysfunction, issues with orgasms, which is another issue. There are lots of issues.
No, I mean, obviously that's not going to be an issue with getting the actual sperm into the
Yes, exactly. And then more and more, even more often than all those is issues with the libido. The more and more men are not having enough libido to maintain a good sex life. Again, that's associated with obesity. So obesity actually has a lot of impact on a woman, on a man and a woman's reproductive health. So if anything like that happens, then usually you should seek help. And this is very important, because a lot of these issues, a lot of people, doctors give men testosterone, but testosterone is actually counterproductive. So you should not be on testosterone if you're having any of these issues, because then you end up switching off the mechanism that actually makes sperm. So you end up with no sperms.
Oh, wow.
Why bodybuilders are so big everywhere else, but their testes are like so tiny. It's because we use a lot of androgens, and testosterone shrinks the factory that makes the sperm, because you switch off that whole mechanism.
Which is the opposite in some ways for women. That you want to have when they get older, that you want to have hormonal like things, and that then is not the case for men, that they shouldn't be getting testosterone.
Yeah, the opposite, in the sense that testosterone does increase. Older,
yeah.
So for older women, androgens, we use androgens for some of the female sexual dysfunction. But obviously in that sense, it's a whole different conversation, because they're
talking about fertility.
Yeah, they're just talking about
having fun. Redundant with the making of the baby. Maybe not. Anyway, so there's, you also mentioned, I mean, obviously there is these, I mean, obesity. And I think that also, like you said, also comes up with women and all those type of things. But another thing that you mentioned as well is that 4% of the normal sperm within, which is now apparently the normal. Is there thus factors that from a male factors that can actually contribute to miscarriage, for instance, or pregnancy loss? Or is that only a part of the female?
Again, God is fair, down the middle. But the thing is, remember that the embryo, which is eventually going to be the baby, is half of it is from the man. So it means if let's say an abnormal sperm with very high DNA abnormalities is what formed the embryo, then there's a very high chance of miscarriage. So men also, like the sperm, contributes to miscarriages. So there's a male factor to miscarriage. It's not just about infertility, no. Miscarriages, fetal abnormalities, everything, half. Around
50%
the fullness of God.
Yes. but I mean, then also, I mean, I think you've already answered this question then, that there is a role to play with sperm quality then in maintaining a healthy like pregnancy as well. And then again, is the sperm quality, if you are making the right lifestyle choices, it's going to have an impact on the quality of your sperm and the quantity. So does a quality sperm mean there's none of these abnormalities and they're fast? Is that a good quality sperm?
No.
I want to know what's like, you know, why is it always fast?
So we will, unfortunately, the way nature works is that it works, it balances things out. It always works. It prefers moderation than anything. So we will always have abnormal sperms. So obviously some men will have less abnormal sperms, which is good. That's better quality. Versus some men will have, who the majority, like far majority of their sperms are abnormal. But also when it comes to the movement, you don't want sprinters, because remember, to get to the egg, the fast sperms tire quick. So they won't get to the egg. That's you need like, you need reasonably fast, but also reasonably, you know,
endurance. It's about endurance. Get to this. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It's not a sprint. So the fast ones are not so great. The slow ones are also not so great. It's those middle ground ones that eventually.
So sometimes it helps being mediocre. Most of the time. So now we've spoken about, I mean, certain lifestyle things, obviously, like we also said, clothing and all sorts of things, obesity. Obviously, and I mean, I think this is also kind of a given, I think, in all of our lives, is that, and I mean, you've mentioned libido, erectile dysfunction, all those things. How big of a role does stress and those mental health issues, how big of an issue is that?
Big issue. That's why we have psychologists as part of our IVF clinics, is because if you look at the body as a machine, if anything is off, then the rest of the body suffers. So if psychologically you're not okay, stress at work, libido goes down, you're tired half the time, you can't have sex, the infertility comes into the picture, you're eating poorly because you're stressed.
I just know, if you're not also telling this man who's already stressed out, hey, there's something wrong with your sperm, I'm not sure that's helping the situation.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help. So they would need it. So, I mean, that's just the way life is. It's I guess there's a balance that we all need to aim for, even to have babies. By the way, if you're stressed as a couple, let's say both male and female, your hormones won't agree to you falling pregnant. Let's just say that, because your body is going to say, well, we're not trying to make babies. We are stressed.
Yeah. And I mean, it's actually so, I mean, I love that your whole time also talking about it as a couple. And I mean, I'm honestly so grateful I've actually had this conversation, because I've had so many conversations also with other moms about infertility and struggles and miscarriage and things like that. And this has really put a whole difference. But I actually feel a little bad that I've never really thought of men properly in this, because we carry the babies and there's a lot of things that come with us when it comes to babies. And a lot of the responsibility in some ways falls on moms for early childhood development. Yeah. And again, just this reiteration of it's a couple problem. It's problem is also not even the right word. It's a couple, it's your marriage and your love and your everything that's going towards. And I think that also it's an important kind of takeaway.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, our conversation has been so great. You're on 101.9 High FM and this is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting and specifically today men's health and fertility with my guest, Dr. Maotu Talking. He's an endoscopic surgeon and he's a fertility expert in all sense. He helps parents and he's got such a vast knowledge. It's always for me so great to talk with you about this topic, because I feel, you are literally there in the trenches with these parents, and I mean, just the way you've been speaking about this today has really, it's honestly changed my perception about this, and I'm hoping that you've had the same effect listening to today's show. If you've missed it, don't worry, it is available as a podcast on Hive and for you to go listen to afterwards, this one and our previous one where we also talked about female fertility issues. So now we've spoken a lot about what causes infertility with men, lifestyle issues, stress, and all those things. I do want to speak a little bit, how can we help men a little bit? I mean, I think it's obvious some of the things healthy lifestyle, wearing non-tight clothes, things like that. But is there like vitamins or something that you should be taking, I don't know, to help with your reproductive health?
Yeah, let's so my lifestyle is actually more important. So not smoking. Smoking's terrible. Drinking, cutting down on drinking.
And I mean, again, also, this is not for me rocket science. In general.
That's not rocket science.
We know that these things are bad for us. So, of course, it's going to be bad for all of things, including that. So, yeah, again, like I said, not rocket science, yeah.
But you asked about vitamins, and there's some vitamins that are on the market. Sometimes you get oxidative stress, which means that, how do I put it? It's there's a balance in our bodies with every cell between oxidative stress and reductive stress. So that balance sometimes goes. It's actually one of the first things to go. Like, say you are stressed or etc., then the oxidative stress pushes it the other way. So then you can give antioxidants, which is what most of these vitamins do. So that they're trying to balance the oxidative and reductive stress. But the thing is, you can't take them for too long because then it goes the other way. And then that's also not good. So there are a lot of things that are marketed, and some help, especially if the condition is not so severe. And there's medication actually. So it's not like, because we make sperms, in most instances, we can usually get the factory working a bit better than it was before to get a few sperms, etc., and then you can fall pregnant that way. But it's not like it's all lost. So even if there's a problem, there's usually something that we can do about it. There are instances, however, where the damage is too great, and then there's not much we can do, which means now sperm donation is the last option.
And I mean, but I mean, now also, I mean, are you then saying that at one point there, like, you can just stop producing sperm?
You can. That is the thing. So you can produce, you can stop producing sperm. Call it azoospermia. But, and it has lots of causes. So there are, we haven't, there's actually a big thing. I didn't want to scare your listeners and you, because there's a lot of what we call endocrine disruptors. But those are things that we can't really avoid, like in plastics, pesticides, sort of food we eat, etc. So it's a lot of issues, cosmetics, things like that, that cause issues. So those we can't avoid. That's daily life. But they can actually, like, they mimic our hormones and can stop us from making sperms. But like I said, usually a lot of these things are reversible, and then there's a few that are not reversible. So,
yeah. So before, let's talk a little bit about, because again, I started off that I'm the one that has to remind my husband also to go for checkups and things like that. We luckily didn't have any issues when we wanted to fall pregnant, and those were not type of things. But I mean, it is kind of, I feel, in some ways obvious when I'm asking these questions, but in the same breath, I always feel maybe if we verbalize it a little bit, then it will be less of an embarrassment for men. But why do you think it is for, why do you think men are hesitant when it comes to discussing fertility issues and embarrassed to go for these checkups?
I recently, I was listening to one of the comedians speaking about how male friendships are different from female ones. And male friendships, like, it's usually like superficial talk about like sport or cars, or so it's never like deep conversations like that. And unfortunately, that's quite true, is that men don't actually feel comfortable talking about, you know, their deep struggles, if you're struggling with infertility. So the health seeking behavior is terrible. We are terrible as men with our health seeking behavior. That's why you'll find a guy taking his wife for a checkup of hypertension, but he's the one who's dying of the hypertension because the woman's been taking treatment for, but the man is undiagnosed. So that's the one of the biggest problems. And the other one is that unfortunately, society stigmatizes male infertility more than female infertility. So it's, you can imagine, I mean, men go into depression and become suicidal once they find out that they actually have a problem. It's them, because they bring their wives. They say, okay, we're having problems conceiving. Here's my wife. Please check out my wife. And then we check the man, and he's the one with the problem. So you can imagine
the
psychological impact of that, because he's like, no, it can't be me.
Yeah.
It has to be her. And that's just a societal thing. So it's a good thing we're having this conversation, because then we normalize it. It's normal. And it's becoming more and more normal because the parameters are getting worse and worse.
Yeah. And again, I hope that we are adding to this conversation, because in the end of the day, again, it's a couple issue. And if you're really struggling with this in the end of the day, again, you said 50-50% chance of that. And I mean, obviously, there's a huge big chance also that both have an issue as well. It might not just be the one, it might be both.
Oh, yeah.
And if you are fixing the woman and she's now, again, taking fixing, that's horrible words to use. But if you're sorting out the female's issues that is happening, in the meantime, the husband's doing nothing, then by the time she's sorted, then you're still not at a place which is delaying the process even longer, which again, kind of then you're starting from scratch, which is not ideal, because the woman is getting older, the man is getting older, it's long-term stress. So yes, so I assume that when couples are after a year, like you said, I mean, it might be sooner or later, depending on their situation, their age, and all those type of things. But if they come to you, it would be like, we're checking both of you out. It's not just the one.
Exactly. That's how it's supposed to be.
Often surprised when you say both at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time, by the way. Most of the time.
Okay. Great. Thanks. More on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
And just like that, another show has come to an end, and it was a great one talking about men's health and fertility issues that couples struggle with. Just on that note, I first want to say thank you so much, Dr. Martu, for joining me again. It was such an insightful, actually a mind-shifting talk for me. So thank you so much for joining me. And just remind me which hospital you're at and where people can contact you guys.
We are at Femina Hospital, and we are Femi Care Fertility Center and Endoscopy Center.
Okay.
And sometimes donate to Steve Biko Academic.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. That brings us to the end of today's conversation about men's health. And remember, strength isn't just about pushing through. It's also about paying attention, getting checked and taking care of yourself so that you can be there for others when it matters most. Let's keep breaking the silence around men's health and have honest conversations all the time about this issue. Until next time, take care of yourself, look after each other, and as always, go out there and be kind.